And we're going to be talking about the kingdom in today's passage in Matthew chapter 13. So I invite you to open your Bibles there. We'll begin with the first verse. There are seven parables in Matthew 13. Matthew tends to group his material topically, and this is the chapter where we find most of his parables. And the first one is the one we're going to look at today, the well-known parable of the sower. And it is a foundational parable, so very, very significant part of Jesus' teaching that's before us today. So let me read this passage, Matthew 13 and verse 1. Hear now the word of God. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. May God bless to our hearts this reading of his word. So Jesus taught in parables. What is a parable? A parable is like a riddle, where at one level it's very easy to understand, but then it becomes apparent that there's a deeper level, something else going on. And once the riddle is cracked, you're like, oh, why didn't I see that all along? Of course, it's obvious, but until then it is obscured. And Jesus taught in parables. So this parable at one level is very easy to understand. It's about a farmer. Jesus' first audience here were very familiar with farming and agriculture, and this farmer has a bag of seed, or perhaps the seed is just in the fold of his garment, and he's going out to sow. It's time to sow his crops, and so he takes the seed and he casts it out on the ground. As he does so, some of it falls at his feet by accident, and it's the place where people walk, where the farmer has been walking, so it's hard packed, and it doesn't penetrate, and the birds seize the opportunity and come and eat the seed quickly. Some of the seed falls in what's called shallow ground, or some translations say rocky ground. Don't think of soil with a lot of rocks in it. That's not what's in view here. Rather, it's shallow soil that covers, thin soil covering an outcropping of large rocks. So the soil is very shallow. Therefore, it heats quickly when the sun heats the rock below it, and therefore the seed germinates quickly. But due to the shallowness of the soil, it cannot withstand drought, and it withers when the sun comes up. And then there's the seed that falls in good soil, but it is weed-rich soil, and weeds are vigorous, and the vigorous weeds choke out the seed once it begins to grow. And then finally, there is the good soil. So that's the parable. It's very easy to understand, but what is the point of the parable? It's not just about farming. That's obviously not the point. What is the point? One of the clues we have here is the fact that words for listening or hearing or the organ of such, the human ear, occur 19 times in these 23 verses. Perhaps this parable is about listening, about good listening, which is when we listen to God. So that's what we're going to look at today. What does Jesus teach about listening? So first of all, consider the importance of good listening. It is crucial, Jesus taught, that a person listens to God. Everything depends on that. You can see that here in the context. As I mentioned earlier, this is the first of seven parables. The six remaining parables all have something in common that this parable lacks, and it's this. They're all introduced by the phrase, "The kingdom of heaven is like," or some such phrase. This one doesn't have that phrase, and I think that's significant. And here's the significance. This is an introductory, foundational parable. The kingdom of heaven is everything. Everything depends on each of us getting into the kingdom of heaven. That's the work God is about. He came to establish his kingdom, and this parable tells you how you come to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom. And it is through the simple act of listening. Listening to God. That's it. The parable here, as my sermon title indicates, is called the parable of the sower. Some have thought, well, maybe that's not the best title, because what's really going on here are soils. I mean, that's where the movement of the story occurs, is in the various soils that the seed is sown in. But the problem with renaming the parable of the soils, is that Matthew himself calls it not the parable of the soils, but the parable of the sower. Because he wants to draw attention to what God is doing. Here's what God is doing in this era. He is sowing his word. What is God's plan for making everything right in the world? For bringing about the kingdom of God? Well, in this era, it is to sow the word of God. That's it. Now, when this era ends, as other parables are going to teach, the very next one teaches this, God is going to have another plan, and it's the plan of judgment. But that's for later. Right now, his plan is to sow the seed of the word. It's quite simple, and it's quite humble, isn't it? I mean, seeds are humble, right? You ever seen seeds? I mean, they're shriveled, they're dry, they don't look like much. And yet, given the right conditions, they flourish, amazing things happen, change, fruitfulness happens. And God says, that's the way it is with my word. So listening is important. It is God's humble plan for bringing about his kingdom in your life. Don't miss it. If you're looking for extravagantly fabulous, powerful, impressive things to be characterized of the kingdom, you will be disappointed. That is not what God is doing today. He is humbly sowing the seed of his word. And when you listen to it, amazing things happen in your life. God-given transformation happens. That's why listening to God is important. Now, there's one other thing that's kind of bracing and troubling here in this passage that I want to mention before we move to our next point, and it's this. The three soils that don't bear fruit seem to be describing people inside the church, not outside. Because they are the ones who have the word of God sown among them. And they have different levels of receiving that word, but the first three are all unfruitful. And ultimately, they miss the kingdom as a result of that. They don't hear the word of God aright. So listening to God is everything. Second thing about listening. What's the key to listening? If it's so important, what is the key to it all? That whole issue comes up because the disciples criticize Jesus a little bit. You should read their question, why do you speak to them in parables, with a note of criticism and rebuke they're offering to Jesus. They're like, Jesus, what are you doing here? Here's your chance, you know? Speak plainly. People aren't getting your message, Jesus, the disciples say to Jesus. Enough with the parable stuff. Speak more plainly to them. And Jesus answers that by saying, well, yeah, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm speaking in parables to make a distinction between people. And the distinction is this. There are some who will get it. And when they get it, the reason is going to be because it has been given to them. That's what he says. Notice verse 11. He says, to you it has been given. Speaking to his disciples. It has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And then he goes on. He quotes from Isaiah 6 to talk about those to whom it has not been given. Parables cause a division in people. It's like a riddle, and you won't get it unless God gives you the gift to get it. This is talking about election. This is talking about the sovereignty of God here. And the point Jesus is making is that at the end of the day, when people are in the kingdom, nobody's going to be able to say, well, I'm here because I was smart enough to figure this out and understand what's going on. Everybody who's there is going to say, my heart was so hard. I would never have gotten this except God in his mercy opened my heart and mind to himself. My only response, therefore, can be one of gratitude. Thank you, God. In the 16th century, there was a debate between Martin Luther and a man named Erasmus on the topic of the human will and how free it was. And Erasmus believed that the human will was completely free, that everybody could choose whatever they wanted to choose. Luther said, no, I don't think it works that way. And he wrote a book called The Bondage of the Will. And in that book, he talked about this passage. Let me read you what Luther said. What else does this mean but that free choice of the human heart is so held down by the power of Satan that unless it is miraculously raised up by the Spirit of God, it cannot of itself either see or hear things that strike the eyes and ears themselves so plainly. So what is the key to proper listening? The work of God's Spirit to open His Word to your heart. So we're dependent creatures, okay? It's not up to your smarts. That should be good news to you, by the way. And it is to me. It's up to God's gracious act to open His Word to us and to open our hearts to Him. So you would think, if that's the case, if God is sovereign in this whole process like that, then that relieves us of our responsibility. But if you draw that conclusion, you are mistaken. Because in the very next section, where Jesus interprets the parable of the sower, he makes it very clear that we have a responsibility for the way we hear. So in some way that I'm not smart enough to figure out, God is sovereign and I am responsible. And both of those things are true, okay, because the Bible teaches them both. So let's look at what our responsibility is. And basically, it's to clear our lives of the obstacles that are highlighted in this parable. There are three of them. The first obstacle we encounter is the one in the hard-packed soil, where the seed doesn't penetrate. It lies on the surface, and the birds quickly come and eat it. And Jesus says, that's the person who doesn't understand the word. It's the person who just skips over the word like a stone skipping over the pond, and it never penetrates. And I think what this highlights, the obstacle this highlights, is a lack of attention, a lack of adequate attention to what God has chosen to reveal to us in His Word. And here's kind of what I mean about that. Have you ever been reading the Bible and you come across a passage and you say, oh, yeah, I've read this before, I know what it's about, and you just kind of speed read it to the end? I think that's what it's talking about here. It's talking about you just kind of register in your brain, oh, yeah, I know this already, therefore, the unstated conclusion, I don't need to pay attention to it now. It doesn't penetrate the heart. And our need instead, and I find this so helpful, is to slow down and begin to pay attention to the details of God's Word, the specific words He uses, the rich imagery of the Bible, the tenses of verbs, whether nouns are singular or plural. Almost every single word is rich with opportunity to feed on God and what He offers to us. You know, little things in the words of the Bible make a difference. That's just a trait of human language, right? There was a book written about 10 years ago that I find the whole thing kind of humorous. It was a book on punctuation, grammatical punctuation. Everybody's going to want to go out and buy this book, I know. And it was called Eats, E-A-T-S, Eats, comma, Shoots and Leaves, which kind of leaves you scratching your head. What in the world is that about? Well, it was a mistake. The title of the book was from a sign in a zoo at the panda exhibit. And the comma should not have been there. So it should have just said, you know, this is a panda bear. Pandas, they eat shoots and leaves, meaning shoots, you know, the little tiny branches of trees and the leaves from those trees. But the sign maker made a little mistake and added one small comma after the word eats, which then changed the words shoots and leaves from nouns to verbs. So you picture a panda bear walking into a restaurant and eating, and then getting into an altercation with a fellow diner and pulling his gun out and shooting the diner, and then leaving. Eats, shoots, and leaves. Small things in language can make a difference, and we need to pay attention. This is what God has chosen. This is how he's chosen to reveal himself to us. We need to pay attention to even the smallest details in the Word of God. The second obstacle is spoken of in that that shallow soil, where the Word of God, this person makes a little more headway than the first one. The Word of God is received with joy, we're told. And it actually begins to germinate, the seed does. But since the roots are shallow, it cannot withstand trouble and persecution. And then when that arises, it withers and dies, and the seed doesn't bear fruit. So what's that describing? Well, I think it's describing several things. One of them is the person who reads the Bible only for principles for successful living. You know what I'm talking about there? I mean, somebody who thinks, oh, gee, I want to be successful financially, and so let me embrace biblical principles of financial management so I will be successful financially. And then they have a financial setback. So they conclude, well, tried that, it didn't work. Forget the Bible, forget God, if he's not going to keep his end of that bargain to make me successful financially. But you see, all along, there's a shallowness there. What does the heart really want? It really doesn't want to obey God and submit to him. It wants God to submit to our desires to be successful. That's the shallow reception of the word. Or I think here's another one that's very common in our day. It's the desire simply to use the word to be entertained or moved in some manner. And, you know, I have to say, I'm very thankful for this congregation because I honestly don't think that's your desire. You've made it clear to me many times over that what you value is faithful preaching of the Word. You know, show us Christ, as we sang earlier. And I want you to know that that is hugely encouraging to the pastors who preach here, that you're not clamoring for entertainment, that you don't go away saying, oh, that was a great story the pastor told, or that was a great sermon, the pastor told such a funny story. Well, what was the story about? What was the point? Oh, I don't know, but it was a funny story. And that's not how we receive the word and profit from it. I remember in seminary reading a sermon by one of the famous preachers of the early church, a man named Chrysostom. And he preached in Antioch in Syria. Syria has been in the news lately. That's where this man preached and had a congregation, but later became a bishop in the church. And he was known as the golden-tongued orator. He was a very eloquent, powerful preacher. And the sermon I remember reading in seminary was one where he was addressing his congregation's habit of applauding in the middle of his sermons when he would make a particularly powerful point. And he pointed out to them that that's not what they should be doing. That showed that they were really just kind of focused on, you know, the entertainment value of his point rather than making, you know, submitting their hearts to what he was saying. And he made his point with such eloquence that they applauded. And that only worked him up even more. And so he made another run at that point, and this time using even more eloquence. And once again, they applauded, and that happened like 3 or 4 times. And every single time they applauded, until finally he just gave up in exasperation. But you see, it's very important what you come wanting and expecting from the preached word of God. And you should come not wanting and expecting entertainment. You know, with your arms folded, okay, preacher, entertain me now. And if you don't, I'm going to the church down the street. And again, none of y'all come that way, so I'm very thankful for that. But just make sure it doesn't start, okay? And come with that expectation. This is the potent word of God that has the power to change and transform everything that God knows needs changing in my life, and I don't need to figure it out. This is powerful medicine. Do you understand how medicine works that changes you? I don't. Maybe the broad outline of it, but I don't get it. But it doesn't matter, does it? If the medicine is good, it will change you whether you understand it or not. The Word of God is like that. It powerfully changes us. You don't even need to know exactly how that happens. All you need to do is receive it and believe it. Here's the last obstacle that Jesus speaks of in this parable. And this is the soil that receives the word most deeply. The plant grows, begins to prosper, but there are these vigorous weeds nearby. And weeds tend to have more power and life in them than good plants, and they start to choke and eventually succeed in choking the life out of the good seed that God has planted. And Jesus names what two of these weeds are. Weed number one is what he calls the cares of life. That word cares in the original is actually singular. And I think what he's talking about here is this outlook on life that makes much of all the brokenness in the world. This is the person who pays way more attention to political things than they do to the Bible. And the result is they kind of fall into some despair. And they just think, oh, the world's falling apart. Jesus says if you let that weed go unchecked, it'll choke the good word of God because it just leads to despair. Despair will choke the life out of you. And then the other weed he talks about, he calls the deceitfulness of riches. In some ways, that's just the opposite. That's misplaced hope. The first weed will take away your hope. The second one takes away true hope with false hope, the deceitfulness of riches. And it too will choke the life out of God's word. So Jesus says, watch out for those two weeds and uproot them when you see them. Receive my word. I love this imagery of the soil, because the soil is passive, isn't it? It receives. That speaks to the very heart of the gospel. It's not about achieving. It's about receiving. Receiving the word of God. In our Westminster Confession of Faith class last Sunday, we talked about faith. And I love that summary of three faithful responses to the Word of God. And here they are. Number one, obeying the commands of Scripture. So we've seen commands here today, you know, because here's the thing. We've not only been talking about this, we've been engaged in it here, okay? The seed that Jesus is talking about is being sown right now. Don't miss that. This is not an academic exercise. This is something from the Spirit of God to sow his seed in your heart. So obey his commands. Well, what are the commands here? Well, listen to God through his word. Are you doing that? Secondly, tremble at his warnings. Are you doing that? If you receive the word of God, one of the proper responses is to tremble at the warnings. When we were talking earlier about those three soils describing the ones that missed the word of God, describing professing Christians, your heart should have trembled some there. That would have been a proper response. God, you mean business here. There's real danger here. This is not the kiddie ride at Disney World with the tracks and you can't go off the tracks. This is real life. There are real dangers here. And then thirdly, embracing the promises. Oh, I love that. Embracing. When you embrace something, when you embrace someone, you don't just like give them a little pat on the shoulder. You don't just give them that side hug. There's a picture in my office where I'm embracing my daughter on her senior night of her soccer career as a college soccer player. And both arms are around her, hugging her, holding her close. That's what we do with the Word of God. Embrace it. God says, I love you. I forgive you. Every sin, I forgive you. My grace is sufficient for you. I will always be with you. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're precious to me. Your future is bright. There's a big difference between receiving that promise and holding it at arm's length and embracing it. When you embrace it, you make it yours. The seed of God's word, when you do that, brings forth transforming power and change. Let's pray to him now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the potency of your word. And thank you for the work of your spirit, without which none of us would be able to take advantage of your word. And so we ask, O God, that you would give us hearts to listen, to receive, to embrace your promises, to tremble at your warnings, to obey your commands. By the power of your Spirit, do these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.